Today, we begin a short series, three sermons on belief. 3 weeks to ground us on crucial beliefs that we hold in common with the larger Christian church. One on resurrection, one on the vital role of the Holy Spirit as we celebrate next week, Pentecost, and one on the mystery of the Trinity as we ponder together Trinity Sunday the following week. So as we begin to talk about our belief as a church in resurrection, we find ourselves often trying to articulate this theological concept. It kind of reminds me of a story that a Baptist preacher was sharing during a children's sermon. Obviously, this is not the Baptist preacher of which I am thinking, but kind of a fun moment in a children's sermon. So during this particular story, the pastor asked the children if they knew what resurrection was. Now, these children in this story apparently had plenty of screen time. You'll know what I'm talking about in a moment. Asking children questions during a children's sermon is vital and a bit dangerous. Y'all have heard that before. Having asked the children if they knew the meaning of resurrection, there was a little boy who raised his hand and the pastor called on him. And the boy said, "I'm not exactly sure, but I knew if a resurrection lasts for more than 4 hours, you're supposed to call the doctor." So that's not the same thing. Anyway. Okay. After the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples stuck close to Jesus. They wanted to make sure that he would hang around for a while. So they hung close to his every word. Each story was like a greatest hit that they could sing along to when Jesus had ascended to heaven. It was Luke's gospel that gave us the image of them staring at the sky, the one that continued on to the book of Acts. You see, Luke and Acts have the same author. Just as the death of Jesus took the disciples by surprise, and just as the resurrection threw them for a loop, it's the ascension that has them agog, staring at the sky. But now, with all three pieces, the theological puzzle begins to be put together. They can figure it out. Shifting focus from the heavens to the earth was learning that Jesus is indeed Lord. Here and now, as well as always and forever. Stick with me for a minute. From the earliest believers to proclaim that Jesus was Lord necessarily meant some radical things. It meant that Caesar and Herod were not Lord. So this was not only religious, but political in this place. In the same way that when we say Jesus is Lord, we are saying we choose Jesus over all else. Also, ascension reminds us that with resurrection, Jesus is not bound in time, place, or space. In the historical time and place of Nazareth, Jesus was. However, Christ is not. In the ascension, we are reminded God is here and now, as well as then and there. Jesus breaks our expectations, our limitations, caring for us as God needs to. these declarations of faith make their way into our creeds for groups of followers. So creeds are those agreed upon statements of faith that bodies of believers use. Did you hear it when Cindy was reading Ephesians? I have heard of your faith, wrote the author of Ephesians. What did that include, we wonder. As we ponder what we believe as a body, as a church, we find ourselves as individuals saying, there are times at which we sometimes physically or figuratively throw our hands in the air and say, I'm not sure exactly what it is that I believe, what God's people have believed. Creeds develop, shape, affirm what the church understands about what God's people have and have not done. They speak to our shared understanding about God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, our role as a church, humanity, life, death. It's a shared language on purpose, even when the conclusion is not the same. Now, here's what's interesting to me. The Methodist Church, from her beginnings, has never been a creedal church. What that means is, when you join the church through baptism or through new members or whatever it might be, you are not obliged to recite or adopt a statement of faith as a prerequisite of membership or a custom of traditions. Why? Like other mainline or non-denominational churches, or we non-creedal, you might be sitting there now wondering, probably not before I brought it up, were you wondering that? Historians would point you to the pragmatic nature of the Methodist movement. We're more mission-oriented as opposed to theological, or perhaps even Wesley's own experience. His maternal grandfather was a nonconformist pastor in Britain. Perhaps that's why. While creeds are non-obligatory, traditionally this congregation, which I love, utilizes the Apostles' Creed to ground us in a historical tradition at baptism, at membership, at confirmation, at times when we need to remember we are bigger than ourselves, that we have something to stand on. The Apostles' Creed developed loosely in the second century. You can't get much earlier church than that. As a short list of essentials to confess ahead of your baptism. Part of our faith is ration, is reason. How can I explain to you in clauses what I know to be true? Part of it is emotion, is mystery, is intuition, is what God has moved within me, and I just feel. Each of us finds our preference in different parts of that spectrum. In our worship, personal and corporate, our faith draws us back to God. And God invites us into that relationship. In our creeds and our articulated faith, we glimpse those different pieces of our faith. I can't help but think about that, particularly on this day of mothers. Did you know Mother's Day has a deep root in the Methodist Church, particularly? A day to honor your mother by working for justice that affects mothers and children, on the strength of a belief in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, we understand that the work of here and now is as important as the reward of then and there. We give thanks to God today for those who biked yesterday in the Bike Southern Chester County to benefit Family Promise, the ones who work to alleviate and eliminate homelessness here and around the world. We pray for all those who work every single day to make our world more welcoming and hospitable through the ministries of presence and kindness. We pray for those who share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those they know and those they don't yet know, but are willing to take the smallest steps out of their comfort zone to get to know someone. This day, developed by Ann Jarvis, was developed by insistent petitions to Woodrow Wilson, our president of that time, on behalf of women, particularly social changes needed for working mothers. We think not only of young mothers, the kind who are chasing sleep, and young toddlers. We pray for all those who are mothering, those who've mothered not only their own children, but the children of the village across years, those who have mothers, and especially on this Ascension Mother's Day. It doesn't happen like this too often where those holidays come together, but those who are remembering because their own mothers have moved into the more immediate presence of Jesus, and who might wish there was another conversation with their mom, or a good belly laugh with mom or with Nana. May each of us know the peace that passes understanding and the hope of resurrection. When we live as people who believe in resurrection, we live differently in the here and now. We live as people who care well to alleviate suffering and to increase joy. We live as people who care well not only for our loved ones, but for the loved ones of those we've yet to meet. We live as though who know the resurrection of the body is necessarily connected to the future in life everlasting. We anticipate the future with joy and excitement and live lives that honor God in all the ways that are possible. Additionally, we live as those who look for the resurrection with hope around us. We look forward to the day that is indeed coming with healing and restoration. In gathering these creeds that I've talked about, you all know that there was contention. That's why there are so many of these creeds. You know that there was dissension. You know that there was division. And you know that there was heartache. These truths that Jesus rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, those words have stood long against the test of time and division. So the preacher asked the kids, "What do you know about resurrection?" I think if the church was answering the question instead of the kids who have perhaps just a little bit too much screen time, I think the church could have answered this way: it is here, and it is now, and it is eternal. It is then, and it is there. Because this, my friends, is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.